today is the International Day Against Islamophobia, which was chosen post the Christchurch massacre to be on 15th of March. Next up, we're going to hear from Shakira Hussain, who is a writer and researcher affiliated with the University of Melbourne. She spent a month in Atotahi Christchurch in 2022, funded by a Neilma Sydney Literary Award. Please welcome her.
Mukhtar Ibrahim would have been 10 years old by now. This week he would have been celebrating the holy month of Ramadan with his family. He'd be old enough now to perhaps join them in the fasting. He would definitely be excited at the thought of all the special food that is being served for iftar and looking forward to the new clothes and the presents that he would have been receiving for Eid al-Fitr. High school would have been just a few short years away from him. And after that, who knows? Maybe he would have become a police officer, as his family used to speculate back when he used to run around the house dressed up as a police costume, pretending to be a cop. Or as another member of his Somali community reflected, perhaps he could have grown up to be a great doctor or even prime minister. But Mukhtar Ibrahim was one of the 51 Muslims murdered by an Australian terrorist in Otago, Christchurch, New Zealand, on 15th March 2019, when he was just 3 years old. He was not just collateral damage. The Australian who murdered Mukhtar and the other Shaheeds spoke of his deliberate choice to target children because they could be the parents of future Muslims, because murdering children is a way of murdering the future. As Tazim said, it was my immense honor to spend a month in Otago Christchurch in 2023 and to speak to members of the congregation at the mosque that I first saw through the GoPro lens of the man who went there to commit murder. I'm guessing that's the first time you saw that masjid too. But I was immensely moved by the strength of that community and by the sentiments that I heard there. I did not speak to Farid Ahmed, whose message we just heard, although I saw him. He had been so generous in sharing his message globally that I did not want to place further imposition upon him. But I had expected that his message of forgiveness, which you've just heard reiterated now, I thought that would be unusual. Mostly because I couldn't myself imagine summoning that sentiment if one of my loved ones had been killed in such a manner. But although it was not universal, it was a sentiment that I did hear from others. Some who said they had not yet forgiven spoke of how they were working towards that point. But forgiveness, and here I'm not speaking Farid Ahmed, I'm speaking for conversations generally. Forgiveness did not mean that they did not want accountability. Because of course, they did not want to see this tragedy repeated, and it has been. Academics and researchers speak of the so-called Christchurch effect, because just as the Australian terrorist who murdered in Christchurch was inspired by the far-right terrorist who committed murder in Oslo, others have gone on and stated that they were inspired to follow in the footsteps of the Australian terrorist. On one of my visits to Christchurch, coincided with such an attack on an African-American grocery store in the United States. And members of the Christchurch congregation were receiving messages from Charles saying, gloating that the killing had continued. So the way that we speak about and remember Christchurch matters. We must remember Christchurch. It has been too easily forgotten, shrugged off, particularly in the nation whose racism spawned his hate. But we must also not center the killer, because that is what they want. They want to live on in glorious publicity. So we must talk of them in a way where we talk with those who are killed are as interesting to us as those who do the killing. Where we think as much about a three-year-old boy, we consider him as interesting, as worthy of publicity, as we do the man who killed him. So, I would urge you to become as familiar with the names and the stories of the Shaheeds of Christchurch as you are of any terrorist whose name you ever see in the headlines. Do not forget what happened on 15th of March, but remember it in a way that honours those who died, not that give publicity to the man who killed them.
Kahi koi tatai, mai te awaki te moana. Mo ke tonu, ka papai tonu, mātau, tu teru whakamokatina. Kia kaha, kia mai, kia manawa nui e tenei wā. Kua e piro, he waka e ke noa. Ki te ru whakamoka tina, tina. Kato hira, hira ki tua. Tēnā tātou katoa. Kei te mihi ki ngā mana whenua o te rohi, ki Wurundjeri Wurrung me Burnerong, kei te mihi. Kei te mihi ki Muslim whānau o te ao, kei te mihi. Kei te mihi ki a Ramadan o tēnei wā, ki whakaaro, whakaroa me aroha ai. Kei te mihi tō nākau, kei te mihi tō hā, kei te mihi tō tangata mate, kei te mihi tō tangata ora, kei te mihi tō mokopuna. Tēnā tātou, tēnā tātou, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora e te whānau. My name's Johan, and behind me are the beautiful Waiata Takatāpu I Rōpū. I did grow up on Kaitahu land, which is the tribal lands of where so-called Christchurch now stands. And after March 15th, there was a resounding rhetoric within New Zealand that this is not us. Engari, as someone who grew up in the streets of Christchurch, I saw white supremacy every single day. It was like breathing air there. It is the hub of white supremacy of New Zealand. So along with so-called Australia, the settler colonial state of New Zealand also needs to take accountability every single day, and they are not. So we stand here in solidarity with our Muslim whānau during Ramadan to honour the 51 martyrs and their families whose lives have been forever changed by this horrific event. In Te Reo Māori, the word for love is aroha. Aro meaning to pay attention to, ha meaning our breath. So to love is a practice of making precious the breath of another. And so today we honour everyone's breath here. We honour the breath of Muslims all around the world. And we honour the breaths that were taken on the 15th of March. So we're going to sing you a couple of waiata today. The first one is Puri Anei, that was written by Hiruni Melbourne. Hiruni Melbourne is a beautiful singer from up north, a tohunga of our songs. And Puri Anei is written, to puri is to cleanse oneself, and this is about cleansing the spirit after death. The second song we'll sing is Nā Iwie, which is a song of kotahitanga. Tahi meaning one, kotahitanga meaning to make one, which is about unity. And not unity as in sameness, unity as in all the important different threads that make the tapestry of this world. So thank you so much for having us today, and we mourn and honour and remember alongside you. E mihi ana.